It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get the view of school social workers amid concerning trends in children's mental health. Governor Tony Evers has declared 2023 the year of mental health. Anxiety, depression, and suicide all increasing among youth in our state. And these findings in the new report from the State Office of Children's Mental Health. Call in with your questions about social services and schools. Share your experiences, access to mental health services during a school day. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Leah Kutschke is president of the Wisconsin School Social Workers Association and a school social worker at a Monona Grove School District Elementary School. Leah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We heard in Governor Evers' State of the State address last night that his budget will contain $500 million to expand mental and behavioral health care statewide. He called mental health a quiet, burgeoning crisis. How could more funding improve school social services?
Yeah, I thought that the State of the State address was just very exciting. I heard so many opportunities for great ways to support the mental health, not only of our students, but also of their families. Because as Governor Evers mentioned, adult mental health crisis is something that we are struggling with in the state and that affects our students and families as well. I think one of the things that I am most excited to hear about in Governor Evers' budget proposal is providing more funding to schools to reimburse them for costs to hire, recruit, or retain pupil services positions. So that's things like school social workers, school psychologists, school counselors, and school nurses, all of whom play a vital role in supporting the mental health of students and the physical health of students at schools. And one of the things that Governor Evers would like to do is to expand a currently existing program that provides that reimbursement for social workers to encompass all pupil services positions, which I think would be just a fabulous addition to many school districts. We also heard about training for staff for mental health to support student mental health. We have found through the pandemic that teachers and educators are many things, and one of those things is sometimes frontline crisis responders when students are in acute mental health crisis. Sometimes we are spending 8 hours a day with students, and they might not be spending that much time with their families even. So providing staff and educators and support staff with the tools to understand mental health, to support an acute mental health crisis, and help connect students with mental health resources like trained counselors. That, you know, the kind of training we provide for first aid should be the same type of training we provide for mental health first aid. So I was very excited to hear a lot of the things that were mentioned in the State of the State last night.
I wonder, as you talk with your peers about workforce and these other stressful issues, do social workers in the school setting have unmet needs themselves? Like, what about not enough staff and burnout and trauma in your profession?
I mean, those are definitely all things that are very present. And while I would say that overall, the state of social work in the state is strong, and we do have a lot of people choosing to enter the profession right now, especially people who have a master's in social work and have been doing other things and maybe want to join schools, we're also seeing record numbers of people leaving the field. That the stress of the pandemic, I think, wore a lot of people down, just as it did our students and families. And one of the things that is a unique challenge for school social work and for student services positions in general is frequently you're the only person in your building that is doing your role. And for school social workers in our rural districts and some of our farther corners of the state, you might be the only school social worker for an entire school district. So it can be an isolating position, and it can be a challenge to know who to bounce ideas off of, or to even be able to know what is your job and what's not. And that's why it's very important that we have organizations like the Wisconsin School Social Workers Association to provide these member networks with resources and with ideas and with professional development specific to school social workers. I cannot tell you how many professional development trainings for teachers I've sat through my school district, but it is very infrequent for us to get training from our school districts specific to the role of school social work. On top of that, I think that it's a taxing job. While there are many joys, I have a whole wall full of pictures from kids and I get lots of hugs, it is still dealing with challenges and helping students and families on some of their absolute worst days, and then waking up and doing it all again the next day.
Mm.
I will say that something I have heard from both teachers and social workers in the post-pandemic era is more, what's the best way to say this? Feeling more okay with prioritizing things other than work.
Hmm.
You know, before work, I had so many teachers and social workers who would be at work until 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. And I think the pandemic and the changes of the last couple of years really refocused people. And so I will say that I, you know, teachers who are always there until 6 o'clock pre-pandemic are leaving at 3:30. I think we see people who have recognize that it is okay to say I'm at my limit, that it's okay to say I need to go home now. And so I think there are definitely some positives that have come. However, we are steering into one of the most difficult times of the year. If you talk to anybody who works in schools, February and March are hard, hard months. So maybe ask me that question again in April and I'll have a different answer for you.
I definitely want to follow up on that, but I want to reintroduce you, Leah Kutschke, president of the Wisconsin Social Workers Association, as we look more deeply at student mental health and school social workers, the work they do each day across Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Andrew in Whitewater. Andrew, hi. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I just wanted to ask the guests what their thoughts were about the spike in children needing speech therapy following the mandates of people wearing masks, and then also what her thoughts were on the schools being shut down and largely a lot of other aspects of life being shut down, and how there was a massive spike in suicide among teenagers or suicide attempts. Those are just two things that I'd like to ask about.
That's coming up for you, Andrew. Thank you for joining in. Leah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I am not a speech pathologist. I am a school social worker, so it is hard for me to identify a correlation or a causation between mask wearing and students with speech delays. I think it can go without question that everybody, including adults, experienced adverse effects from being at home and from not being around peers. I think we have definitely seen an uptick in children who have struggled with appropriate peer relations because they spent some of those formative years not around people they weren't related to. So I can't deny that there are certainly things that we are working to address in our students, but I don't think any of those challenges are unsurmountable when it comes. Kids are very flexible, they are very resilient, and we as educators have responded and have developed social emotional learning lessons to address some of these relational concerns. And I, you know, you would have to talk to a speech pathologist to learn more about that piece, but I think it's just, it is something that it goes without saying that not being around our peers for adults as well for long periods of time can have adverse effects. However, I do think I have seen in the last two-ish years since schools have mostly been reopened that kids are catching up and kids are finding joy. And kids are leveling out to a place where we would like them to be with those social interactions and those academic supports.
But why? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
If you're going to address the piece on suicide, and I would say that the crisis line is 988, but your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the exact same thing we saw with adults. Adult suicide rates also spiked during the pandemic, that when people were cut off by their social networks, when we were doing the things that we needed to do to stay safe, or even the things that we personally chose to do based on our own levels of risk, of comfort, of health, that there undeniably were adverse effects of people being anxious for such a long time, of people being isolated from social networks, of people losing employment and things like that. Personally, my school district did a combination of things. We were virtual, we were hybrid, we were in person, and I won't say that any of those solutions were perfect. We were dealt an impossible situation in a crazy time, and I think that most school districts did the best that they could with the currently available information. But unfortunately, that required us to be away from each other. Mm-hmm. I will say that a lot of school districts did amazing, amazing work during this time. the number of websites that I saw created of calming resources, of crisis resources, of open office hours, of, you know, people having their virtual link open all day, every day for students to come in. I think that there was a lot going on to support students and families in that time. And I think that a lot of people, myself included, are immensely proud of the work that we were able to do in such a challenging situation. But when people are isolated, and especially teens, when they're isolated with social media as one of their big influences, there's obviously going to be risks. And those are students who we are continuing to work to re-engage with school, work to support those mental health services. And it's part of why we need some of these mental health services to come back into schools. So sometimes these families still face barriers accessing those mental health services outside of schools. And being able to have things as a one-stop shop is beneficial for both students and their families who may be overtaxed with mental health or economic stress of their own.
Leah Kutschke leads the Wisconsin School Social Workers Association as we learn about the unmet mental health needs of our state's youth, how professionals in this role are thinking about these issues. Be part of our conversation, calling in with your questions, comments anytime. School counselors, social workers, psychologists, share your perspective, what you encounter, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with the Wisconsin School Social Workers Association on the needs of mental health in schools across our state. The State Department of Public Instruction, in its $2.5 billion biennial budget request, outlines how it seeks to address student mental health. Call in your questions, comments, 800-642-1234. Leah Kutschke leads the Wisconsin School Social Workers Association and is an elementary school social worker. Stays with us. Let's go to Lisa now in Milwaukee. Lisa, hi.
Hello. Hey, I asked the question to the person that answered the phone. With that question, I was talking about teachers. I know of six of them that retired. They were elementary school teachers at one school after they went online. Is that something we could get those teachers back if they went to school for social worker?
Lisa, thank you. What are your thoughts there, Leah, about retirements and perhaps getting those teachers to re-enter the workforce in a social work setting?
So I do think one of the things that Governor Evers mentioned during his speech last night that I think was really interesting was creating some pathways for retired teachers to re-enter the field more easily. So, you know, I think personally, if those people have a teaching background, I would love to see them in front of students again, that we do have a huge need for educators and for people with experience to be in the classroom. So I was excited to hear Governor Evers talk about that. To address this question specifically, it would be, I think, a little bit of a challenge. In the state of Wisconsin, a school social worker is required to have a master's in social work. And while there are some pathways for people who already have a master's in social work, but maybe don't have the school certification to get that school-based licensure, unfortunately, I think it would be a little bit challenging for a teacher to go back and get another master's. And so I do think that the experiences of teachers are something that school social workers can absolutely learn from. Some of our best presenters at our conferences have been educators themselves to share those experiences. So while I think it might be a little bit challenging for a retired teacher to make that jump to school social worker, I think there's absolutely opportunities for partnership, for developing curriculum and resources that is benefiting students' emotional needs, but is written in a way that students can actually understand. And that's where we need educators, and we need people who have this boots on the ground experience with students to be our resources. Because while I spend a lot of time with students, my kindergarten teachers are with them for 7.5 hours a day. So they know a lot more about the kids than I do and the best ways for them to learn.
Which makes me wonder, could classroom teachers fill the gap in delivering some of the social and emotional learning needs? Or is that type of role better suited for mental health professionals and for social workers?
Yeah, that's a great question. The Department of Public Instruction's best practices are for what's called universal social emotional learning, which is kind of the basic building blocks of being a person. Things about kindness, empathy, understanding how to solve problems, understanding how to disagree with somebody respectfully. Research shows us and best practices show us that at least at the elementary level, it's really beneficial for those basic building skills to be taught by classroom teachers, because that's who's with the students all day, every day, and can reinforce those skills, can reference, well, remember, we talked this morning that here's our fair ways to play. And so what we saw in the past is that a lot of times that social emotional learning was delivered by a school counselor, a school social worker who would come in, do a lesson, and then leave. And there was a lot of difficulty with transferring those skills. So that kind of universal social emotional learning in a lot of districts and in a lot of places is already being taught by classroom teachers, because that's just what they do all day. Mm-hmm. There is certainly some content, what we call kind of tier two or secondary supports, where someone with a mental health background being the person delivering that content could be more appropriate. So these are things like small group interventions for students struggling with anxiety, or for students who've experienced grief or who've experienced family change. So some of those topics that are perhaps a little bit more intensive are frequently being administered by student services or in partnership with outside agencies. We're seeing a lot of districts bringing trained counselors, psychologists, people into the schools to provide those services due to the even higher level of accreditation and understanding of these concerns. So yeah, there's a lot of great things that can be done by teachers, and there's a lot of great things that can be done by social workers and outside people as well to support students while we have them in the building.
Wisconsin School Social Workers Association President Leah Kutschke with us as we talk about student mental health and how districts proceed in this area, 800-642-1234. Follow-up question, much earlier you said, you know, February, March is the most difficult time of year for school social workers. Why is that?
Oh, gosh, that's such a great question. I think it's a confluence of things. It is the long haul between winter and spring break can be challenging for a lot of students and staff. That's a long time to go without days off. We also are steering into the standardized testing time of year, which can provide a lot of opportunities for stress and anxiety, even for young learners. Frequently, that kind of starts in February, March, and April, that we start having to set aside large chunks of our day to stare at computers and to take these standardized tests. I also don't want to discount the fact that we live in Wisconsin and we've barely seen the sun for the last 2 weeks. And I think a lot of students and families suffer from that difficulty going outside, difficulty getting into nature, difficulty being out with friends and interacting in these kind of social settings. And we tend to kind of hunker down during those months. And it's not always the best thing for the adults or for the students.
Thank you for calling attention to that and explaining how that can really impact the school setting. So as we head into budget season here, Governor Evers delivering his budget address next month on the 16th, what are your association's priorities for the upcoming budget?
I think just thinking about that $6.6 billion that is Wisconsin taxpayer money and seeing how we can possibly get that back into our schools. I think a lot of schools received a lot of one-time funding through the coronavirus pandemic and were able to do things like hire companies to come in and provide therapy or to contract with agencies to help connect families. Unfortunately, a lot of that funding is going to run out. So I think whatever we can do to sustain the amazing work and focus on mental health that has come from the pandemic through funding to make sure that a great program isn't here 1 year and gone the next, I think that's a huge priority for us, as well as trying to recruit and retain school social workers and educators as general. We can have a lot of school social workers, but if we don't have teachers to teach the kids, we've still got a bit of an issue. So I think just a lot of the things that Governor Evers laid out as far as supporting student mental health, supporting school-based mental health services, which can be lifesavers for families in rural areas or families with limited access to transportation or outside services. These are all things that school social workers have been dreaming about for years. And so it was very, very exciting to hear about the proposed investments in supporting mental health and in supporting staff, so that we can keep these fantastic people in their jobs with students for as long as humanly possible.
Leah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight, and thank you to the callers for some good questions as well.
Leah Kutschke is president of the Wisconsin School Social Workers Association. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is at 988. Free, confidential support, 3 digits, 988. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.